Steeler fans and fans of Behind the Steel Curtain, welcome back to another episode of the Steelers News. I'm Jeff Hartman, editor of BehindTheSteelCurtain.com, and on today's episode of the Steelers News, there's a lot to talk about. Before we get into that, I want to make a quick announcement. If by chance you're listening to us on podcast form, you didn't know, you weren't aware that we have a YouTube channel, go there. Subscribe. All you have to do is go to youtube.com, go to the search engine, type in BTSC Steelers Radio. There we are, all our videos. Like it, subscribe, comment, good stuff. If you follow us on YouTube, didn't know we had a podcast platform, do that too. Go to iTunes, search The Standard is the Standard, and you'll find all our great podcasts as well. So let's get right into the news. That's all you want to hear about, black and gold and minicamp. The Pittsburgh Steelers are back on the field today. Today was day one of minicamp. There's 3 days, and then after that is the long and arduous dog days of summer where you don't have anything until July 25th. Well, I should say you hope you don't have anything, because if you do have something going on, typically it's not of the good variety. And so the Pittsburgh Steelers typically give you as in the fans, the people that are not in the locker room, the non-media, they give you one player a day, like one big player to talk to the media. Today, before practice, it was Antonio Brown. And Antonio Brown had some really interesting comments to say before practice. He talked about why he wasn't at organized team activities. He only made it to 2 out of 10, which is very unlike Antonio Brown. He's normally a guy that wants to show up. He spoke very, very negatively of the media and talked about how he can't stand how stories are written and they're not true. And he said that he's not sure if he's actually free and he feels that he's stuck. He can't work out by himself. That's what he said. And tomorrow morning, and you can go anywhere and read the transcript, see the video. Tomorrow morning, we'll have all of that in a nice, easy to read spot for you with our day one mini camp recap. But I want to talk a little bit about this and give my personal opinion. And I'm not alone with this opinion. Some of the stuff that Antonio Brown spoke about, you know, not being able to do anything and always having articles written, that's life as a professional athlete. You make mistakes, you don't show up, people are going to question why, especially when you're an all-pro, you're the best wide receiver in the game in all of football. And on top of that, you've never really missed OTAs before. Now all of a sudden you are. Here's where it gets dicey with me. He talks about how I can't even work out by myself. Well, Antonio, if I were to give you any advice, it would be, how about you don't put all your workouts online, on Instagram, on Snapchat, on Twitter? You want to post your workout after you're done? Do it. Why are you posting when you're there? It's going to spread like wildfire. I understand what Antonio Brown is trying to do from a social media perspective. He is trying to build a brand. He's not just there to show people that these are the shoes that he's wearing today and this is what he's eating. He wants people to know Antonio Brown inside and out, to get an inside look at his life, because he wants to be something bigger than just a wide receiver for the Pittsburgh Steelers. I get it. But with that comes the fact that you're basically living in a fishbowl, to steal lyrics from a Kenny Chesney song. You are on the inside and everyone is looking at you. That's what you're doing. If you don't want people to be all up in your business, don't put all your business out there for people to look at. And if you follow Antonio Brown on Instagram and Snapchat recently, there have been some really, really strange, I think strange is the best way to put it. Some really strange behavior going on with him. He has some stuff going on off the field. We'll just put it like that. He has some stuff going on. I had a feeling that he is having to tend to some of those things, and maybe some of that's still lingering. But I'll say this, Antonio Brown, I don't know what he wants. I really don't. I don't understand where this came from, if it was out of frustration. This is the guy that 2 years ago was in trouble for broadcasting Facebook Live in the locker room in Kansas City after the divisional round win. that's letting everyone into the locker room. How are you going to do that and then 2 years later say, I don't have freedom and I don't buy it at all. Not for an iota, not for a second. But Antonio Brown, he'll own up to it. He already spoke to Jeremy Fowler of ESPN and kind of clarified his comments. I personally just think that Antonio Brown would be best served doing one or the other. Either you post everything online and deal with it, or you start dialing back on that and accepting and enjoying, I guess, some of your freedom. You can't have it both ways. It just doesn't work out that way. Other than that, mini cam news, not much. Randy Feitner spoke to the media. Mike Tomlin spoke to the media. The biggest theme of Mike Tomlin's session with media today was this is not an evaluation process. These 3 days of minicamp, although they might look like training camp, they might want to have them look like training camp to get players acclimated, they are not evaluating. It's the eye test. Coaches are going to understand what's going on, and they're going to understand, hey, this person does this well. But this is not even close to we're trying to figure out who's going to make the 53-man roster is what I'm referring to. This is all educating. It's teaching. It's getting them acclimated to life in the NFL. That was the theme of Mike Tomlin's media session today. And that was really it. He really didn't have much news at minicamp after day one. But like I said, tomorrow, behindthesteelcurtain.com, you can check out my recap. It'll have quotes, video, photos, all that you want from day one will be right there in an easy place to see. Now, the title of this episode, if you haven't checked it out, are players that need to step up their game in 2018. I was sitting at work today and I was thinking to myself, who are some players that I feel personally really need to step up their game in 2018? And for right reason, these players aren't just players that could improve. They're players that could make a big difference. And that's key here. So I thought of four players, and these are players that actually play a significant number of snaps. Four players that I feel would actually could and should step up their game, or else you kind of wonder what's going to happen. And that'll make sense here in a few seconds. I think the number one, and I put him on the top of the list for a reason, is Bud Dupree. Bud Dupree was a number one draft pick in 2015, and he's never really lived up to that first draft for that number one pick billing. I understand that under Keith Butler, it's not like Dick LeBeau with the outside linebackers. And what I mean by that is that he doesn't let his outside linebackers pin their ears back and rush the quarterback that much. And that was the staple of Dick LeBeau's defense. But at the same time, when he has had the opportunity to get after the passer, he has failed. He had 6.5 sacks last season, 6 the year before that, 4 his rookie season. Now the Steelers, in my opinion, sent Bud Dupree a very, very clear message prior to this year. What was the message? When they asked if they were going to pick up his fifth-year option, they did not say yes right away. They kind of waited. They said, yeah, we're going to see. We'll see how things pan out, and then we'll see. But they ended up giving him the fifth year. That doesn't mean that they technically, unless he gets hurt, they don't have to give him that money. But as of right now, they could. They can lock him up. They have him locked up for a fifth year. Look, I hope Bud Dupree pans out. They've already switched he and TJ Watt, or at least they have the flexibility to switch. That doesn't really speak of confidence in one player being able to dominate from that side. I think about some of the great duos that the Steelers have had in this 3-4 scheme, whether it's Greg Wood and Kevin Green back in the 90s, whether it was Clark Higgins and Joey Porter in the early 2000s, whether it was James Harrison, Lamar Woodley. They've always had those bookend guys. And so TJ Watt and Bud Dupree, those are the guys now, and they just have to win, but mainly Bud Dupree has to win. And so they're moving him over to the right side to go against the top left tackle. I'm not sure if that's going to work, but he needs to step up his game, no doubt about it. I don't think anyone, and I mean anyone, listening, reading, watching this is going to disagree with me. If you do disagree with any of these, go to the comment section and let me know. Because honestly, I'd be curious to hear your take, because I'm not sure if any of these would be something that, or someone that anyone would disagree on. Let's go to number two, Artie Burns. I think that Artie Burns has improved since his rookie season, and he's played a lot of football in the last 2 years. But at the same time, I'm waiting for Artie Burns to take that next step. I'm telling you, I want him to be more of a shutdown guy. You still see those brain farts with Artie Burns. And I don't know if he just doesn't pay attention. I don't know if he kind of maybe in certain situations doesn't think that certain things are going to happen, but he blows coverages. He misses tackles. He's not very physical. These are aspects of his game that definitely need to improve. If they don't improve, like for instance, Bud Dupree, if they don't improve, they don't have to pick up his fifth-year option. He could be gone. Unrestricted free agent, good luck. Artie Burns doesn't improve. Cameron Sutton is just waiting. He's waiting for a chance to show what he has on the outside, and that could be a spot. But if he does play well, if he does get better, if he does get more physical, and I think about in training camp, he goes against the best wide receiver in football and Antonio Brown every single day. That has to translate to the games. Do I think that Artie Burns got better from 2016 to 2017? Yes. Do I think it was a drastic improvement? No. Is there still room for a major improvement? Absolutely. Artie Burns and Joe Hayden could be a very, very good cornerback duo, but Burns is going to have to step up his game if that's going to happen. All right, number three on the list, and a lot of this would be the one that if people watching or listening are going to have an issue with my list, it's going to be this one, and that's Stephon Tuitt. Now, Stephon Tuitt was hurt last year. He tore his biceps tendon in the first defensive play from scrimmage against the Cleveland Browns in week one. If you remember, he just knifed through the line, forced Isaiah Crowell out of bounds, and then just started holding his arm. Really flukish play. He ended up playing the majority of the season with that injury. And so I struggled putting him on the list because he was hurt. But at the same time, he had just received a big new contract. He's supposed to be the guy that he and Cam Hayward are supposed to work off each other. You can't stop both of them because someone's going to get loose, whether it's an outside linebacker, an inside linebacker, or Javon Hargrave in the middle. These two guys, Hayward and Tuitt, are supposed to be dominant. Dominant. Not just good, not just better than average. Dominant. Hayward did his job. Tuitt needs to do his job. I think everyone's been waiting for Tuitt to just have that big breakout year. And I firmly believe that he is capable of that, but I'm just not seeing it yet. He's healthy now. 2018 is the year for Stephon Tuitt to get going. I'll never forget leading up to when he was drafted in 2015. A lot of people were wondering, where is he going to go? He had a foot ankle issues, injuries during the combine and stuff. When the Steelers drafted him in the second round, everyone said they got a first-round talent in the second round. It's time for him to show up and show out. Stephon Tuitt, he needs to step up his game, in my opinion, in 2018. If he can, run defense is going to improve. Pass rush is going to improve. Defense is going to improve. And the last on the list, I'm not just bashing the defense here. I'm going to go on the offensive side of the ball. I'm going to say Vance McDonald for multiple reasons. He, just like Tuitt, dealt with a lot of injuries in 2017. He had shoulder injury. He had an ankle injury. All of that kept him out. And he was also handicapped by the fact that when he was signed by the Steelers, or I guess was traded for, it was 1 week prior to the opening, a regular season opener in Cleveland. So he was behind the eight ball before he even got settled in Pittsburgh. He's had a whole offseason, a whole season last year to get acclimated. I expect to see more from Vance McDonald in 2018. He can be a very dynamic playmaker for the Steelers offense if he stays healthy and if he catches the football. Sounds silly, but he has had issues going back to his time in college at Rice as well as at San Francisco where he was drafted. He's had issues with his hands. He needs to improve on that. Vance McDonald blocks well. He pass catches well. When he catches the football, he's a beast to take down. He runs well. He can be the total package for the Steelers at tight end, but he has to show up and he has to improve in 2018, because if he does, the offense becomes more prolific. They can open up probably a whole other section of their playbook. That's how big, healthy and effective Vance McDonald could be. So there you have my four players that I think need to step up their game in 2018 in order: Bud Dupree, number one, Artie Burns, number two, Stephon Tuitt, number three, and Vance McDonald, number 4. Again, what do you think about my list? Leave me a message. If you're watching on YouTube, go down to the comment section. Do you agree? Do you disagree? Is there someone you would add? If you're listening on podcast, go to behindthesteelcurtain.com. You'll see these articles. Go to the podcast article, comment underneath. Let me know what you think. I'm always curious. I always like your feedback, and give it a thumbs up if you're on YouTube as well. Last thing I want to talk about. There was an article that I published on behindthesteelcurtain.com recently. It was actually on Tuesday. And Jason LaCafora, NFL insider, wrote an article about Le'Veon Bell, how he's not going to reset the NFL's running back market like he wants to, but that he should. So he predicts that he's not going to get the money he wants, even though he should. And he makes some really good points. He talks to some agents, and they've all made very good points, and they point mainly to Jarvis Landry's $16 million guaranteed a year contract in Cleveland and say, how can you give a guy that's a slot receiver $16 million a year, and you have a guy that's as versatile and as dynamic as Le'Veon Bell, and he won't get near that? A lot of it has to do with the market value, and that's what Le'Veon Bell has talked openly about. He wants to reset that market value. Ever since Adrian Peterson and LeSean McCoy got their big contracts, the running back market has slowly declined. With every Kareem Hunt and Alvin Kamara, the premier running backs are not viewed as necessary anymore. Le'Veon Bell is, I think I should start off by saying, Le'Veon Bell is a phenomenal football player. Fans sometimes let the behavior off the field, whether it was the drug arrest, whether it was the missed drug test, or whether it was his sometimes just his rapping, and people don't like that. Sometimes they're letting that skew their vision of what he does to the team. He is the best running back and the best all-around running back in the National Football League, period. You may hate the guy, but you cannot say he is not a phenomenal football player. And it got me thinking, are we as fans that are possibly, and most of us are, disgusted with Bell, are we not giving him the credit that he truly deserves? Should he be worth all that money? I think fans, we're fans. We're not in a position to actually make these deals and to really look at the salary cap and try to figure things out. We want Le'Veon Bell to take a pay cut. Why? Because we want him to want to be in Pittsburgh. We want him to want to stay. We want him to want to win a Super Bowl here in Pittsburgh and be here for the long term. That's what we want. But at the same time, you have to view it from his point of view. And what does he want? He wants to get paid. He wants to be paid what he feels he is worth. Now, in the article, I wrote a quick little blurb about comparing it to everyday life, because a lot of people always say, if this guy were working, what would they say? What would they do? This would be similar to any job. Think of it. A nurse, whatever. You show up to your job and you are really, really good at your job. I mean, you're one of the best, if not the best, at your job. And so when it comes time for raises to be handed out, you go into your boss's office and the boss says, you know what, we've handed out so much money already. I'm hoping you're going to take less because we had to hand out some raises to other people too. And you might be a team player and you might say, yeah, whatever. But at the same time, you also have to think, man, this is really pissing me off because I'm worth more than this. I'm more valuable than what they're paying me. And when I thought about it that way, I said to myself, maybe I'm viewing this a little bit wrong. Maybe I need to put myself in the Le'Veon Bell shoes and say, hey, he should try to get whatever he wants. Now, at the same time, if the Pittsburgh Steelers give him a fair deal, a deal that could possibly reset the market, and he doesn't take it, well, that's a different can of beans right there. But as of, I think a lot of fans are just upset with how he's handling negotiations. Maybe, I mean, you take away the comments and the Twitter pictures about being a villain and stuff. He thinks he's worth a lot of money. And let's be honest, he is worth a lot of money. And the Steelers would love to have him back. And fans that have said that they've turned their back on him, look, when number 26 is on the field, he's dynamic. He is the best, in my opinion, currently in the National Football League. So just a little slight change of thinking in that aspect. Get yourself out of the black and gold glasses. Think about what it would be like to be Le'Veon Bell. And maybe you have a different perspective. Maybe it doesn't change anything. It doesn't matter. It's your own personal opinion, just like this is mine. Nonetheless, I really thank you all for listening, because I appreciate that on YouTube, man. Our channel is growing fast. It's incredible. We're already almost to 700 subscribers. People are commenting, giving us thumbs up. I really, really thank you. Our podcast platform has been doing great. And BehindTheSteelCurtain.com is, as always, a huge, huge site. And I hope everyone is visiting there for your one-stop shop for Pittsburgh Steelers needs. In the offseason, we guarantee you at least 6 articles a day, people. 6. My goodness, 6 articles to feed your black and gold soul. We'll put it that way. I'm Jeff Hartman, editor of BehindTheSteelCurtain.com. Thanks for listening to the Steelers News. We'll see you next.